Welcome to the Human Advisor Podcast. This series is brought to you by Altruist, the first ever fully integrated digital brokerage platform for fiduciary financial advisors. No commissions, no fees, and no biases. The way it should be. Check out humanadvisorpodcast.com for new episodes. Now let's get into today's episode.
The flip that happened for me happened a few years ago when I realized our job is not to be the hero for our clients. Our job is to be the guide for our clients. And the only way you can be the guide is by truly understanding what matters most to them. And then once you understand what matters most to them, learn how to speak to their heart rather than their head.
All right, so a lot of symmetry here between the name of the firm and where we actually are. So explain to me the background of a Stone Steps Financial.
Yeah, so when I was looking to name the firm, I didn't want it to be Scott Frank Financial because it's not about me.
Right.
But I did name it. I wanted to name it after either a place that I loved to surf or a place that I grew up skiing.
Okay.
So I looked at all my ski maps from college because I went to University of Colorado.
Okay.
Looked at all those runs.
Right.
Finally settled. I actually don't surf there as much, but the name was fitting. Stone Steps Financial.
Right.
It's actually just about a quarter mile from here.
Okay.
And it also, it hit me because like most people need a strong foundation and then they're always making progress in their lives, right?
Right.
So Stone Steps just really worked.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't see too many places around here you can ski, so.
No. No. You can do it in a day if you want to go drive all the way up to Big Bear.
Right. So when we, you know, when we were coming down here, you know, we were having a good conversation about, you know, alignment, right? And
yep.
and working, you know, us as advisors working with other advisors, right? And then giving that away. So let's dig back into that. I thought you were making some really salient points about the importance of, you know, kind of us being selfless, right? Giving that away and getting help to get our own lives aligned.
Yeah. So, you know, the work that we do, at the end of the day, our job is not about money as much as it is about people living great lives, right?
Right.
And that whether it's us or advisors themselves, we're all trying to do the same thing, which is how do you take your time, money, energy, and talent and optimize those things for your life.
Right. And I admittedly, as I said, would have a hard time doing that. What would you say or advice would you give to advisors who, again, may have a family and they're trying to run the practice and they're doing, you know, they're trying to be super men or women about giving that up and actually going to work with someone else? Because I admittedly would have a problem with that.
For an advisor hiring an advisor, the epiphany that I had for myself, which is why I'm looking for one, is I need to take the blinders off of my own life.
There are
things that I can't see in myself that a third party can see.
Right.
I think a lot of us as advisors will step in and say that's one of the advantages of an advisor, yet oftentimes as advisors, we don't take our own advice.
Right.
The big one to me is we're at an advantage with our spouse.
Right.
So if I'm telling my spouse what we should do because I have the expertise,
right,
that's a different relationship than the two of us being together about what we ultimately want in life and looking to someone else as a third party for objective advice to help us take those next steps.
Right. And it's interesting now as I think about it, literally as we're having this conversation, I think that'll be tougher for younger advisors coming into the business because they're so used to everything is already there, right? They can do it from their phone. But again, the human touch is never lost. And my mentor always says, there come a point in your life, you'll make enough money where you'll want to start, right? You spent your time to get money. Now you'll want your money to get your time back.
That's it.
So I'm assuming that'll always be there. But again, I think I'm not young, but I look at as life changes, I can imagine being a 25-year-old right now and them looking at this, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna hire another financial advisor to do my stuff. But that's really cool. So here's what I was excited to talk to you about as well, and we will definitely will dig more into this, but when I first met you, we throw terms around in this business, right? A lot, right? With a lot of time, most times with no substance, but taking the financial planning process a step further to life planning, right? Mm-hmm. And you did a really good explanation of that, or gave a really good explanation of that, rather. We were talking, we all did a video, shout out to Justin Castelli and all of the, you know, all of the first round table that we had. But really briefly, right, talk about the importance of that. And one of the things, especially the listening part, right, which we struggle with, if you wouldn't mind, because I think it's so important for not only advisors to understand that, but just anyone who's in the service industry, you know, at all. The importance of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's and that actually gets back to your point about advisors needing advisors, right? Because at the end of the day, you can't listen to yourself. And what I mean by that is, like, you can have a thought, right? And it's the way that we're wired, actually, right? When you think something, you think it, you don't feel it, right? When someone speaks to you, it goes through your reptilian brain, your amygdala, right? That's where feeling happens.
Right.
Right. So when you're trying to figure out what your next steps in life are, it's very hard for you to think through that on your own. Much better when you have a guide giving you your own language back to you so you can be on that ride with them and see that.
Right.
That's really what deep active listening is. It's learning how to let go of the ego of the advisor, whoever that person is, and sit down and have a deep conversation with someone and just be there with them.
Right.
And let them, you know, the way that I think about it is, if you and I were going to sit down and have a long conversation right now, I play a little game with myself. I imagine that you have 10 marbles in your pocket, and my job is to let you have the space and time to bring out your 10 marbles and put them on the table.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, that third one comes out where you say you want to learn how to surf and do sprints the next time we're here in San Diego. I'm not going to start talking about me or what, how that would be fun or anything like that. Because if I do that, it says the first two things that you talked to me about weren't that important. And that fourth one that's going to be life changing for you that you want to bring out, you're not going to bring out anymore because wow, you know, I'm not really here for that. I'm here for me.
Wow.
Right? And it's really about being there for the client, being there for them, and helping them step into who they're meant to be.
Right. Now, you may hear a noise in the background. That are not waves crashing. That was free jewelry just bestowed upon you that are falling at our feet. I thought we're going to take that inside and we're going to do a deeper dive into that, because you gave that example when, you know, when we first met and you gave that example, and I thought that was so important. So I want to dig into that more, and obviously there's so much we can talk about and get into what makes you.
Yeah.
You're such an active listener, but I definitely want to, you know, return the favor and hear you talk about you as well. So we are going to journey back to the office, sit down, and give you more of this. I'm excited for this sit down, and stay tuned. All right, so we are here in the humble abode of my friend humble. Scott Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting comfy in his office. Off camera, there are tissue and chocolate, so we will get to why in a sec. But again, thanks again for having us. It's a shame we had to come inside. I don't know what's going on with my allergies right now, so everybody pardon me. As we kind of dig in here, but this has been awesome so far. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
I really, really do. And we are we had already been FinTwit family.
Yes.
So
we met at 40 under 40.
We did. So that's really cool. Shout out to the whole 40 under 40 class of 2019, right?
Yes.
That was cool as well. So again, I there's so many ways to take the conversation with you. I'm a huge fan. I think when this is done, people are going to be in touch with their emotional selves, right? And really touched by just the way you go about running your practice. But more importantly, I've, for whatever reason, kind of gravitate to thoughtful givers now. And you embody that. So I want to get into that as well. So many places we can take the conversation, but let's just start right off. Like, let's learn more about you, more about your practice. And as I say to everyone here, is we bring a lot of our background and our lives to our practices.
Yep.
And it starts to become, you know, a reflection of who we are. So talk a little bit about that and introduce people to, you know, to Stone Steps.
Sure. So a touch of background on me. Grew up in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Grew up in one of the most conservative counties in the country.
Right.
Went to school and college in one of the most liberal spaces in the country, University of Colorado at Boulder. Right. So I grew up seeing kind of both sides of the spectrum.
Right.
Grew up in a middle-class family, white-collar family, who fell on hard times when we were growing up in the 90s, when my dad lost his job.
Right.
So got to see a lot of things through life, right? And experience a lot of things, which led me to where I am today.
Right.
Didn't know I wanted to be a financial advisor. Always loved helping people. middle kid. So I'm always the one who's trying to like bring people together.
Yeah, you're good at that. Yeah.
But basically started at a bigger firm, Fisher Investments, right out of school.
Okay.
Went and worked for a smaller firm. While I was there, got the credentials that I needed to be the technician, right? The CFP, the CFA. When I was younger, I thought my job was to be the hero, right? My job is to come in and solve the problem, especially when you're young, working with mostly wealthy people. I think we think our job is to step in and provide the solution.
Right.
Kind of went on a journey across time, figuring it out, right?
Right.
When I started this firm, I started it about in 2015.
Right.
Started it with the concept of like, we're going to help. You don't have to have $1 million to work with us, right?
Right.
Like in our business, I think, because especially with like our registered investment advisors, there's kind of scarcity in the amount of registered investment advisors that there are relative to the amount of money that there is.
Right, right.
So what happens is like as people grow their businesses, you raise your fees,
right?
Because you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's honestly how a lot of people work, how we all work. So I started this business with the thought, I'm going to help people. You don't have to have $1 million to work with me, right? We have to figure out what the appropriate fee is,
of course,
but you can still work with us. So started that about 4 years ago. But then it's like I started doing the work, right? You have the young person come in who doesn't have $1 million yet, and you sit down and they tell you what their problems are.
Right.
What they think their problems are.
Right.
And then you provide the solutions. And then they don't do it.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Like, has any advisor ever had that happen? Where like you tell them what they need to go do next, and they don't go do it.
Yeah.
And so it always hit me like, why is this happening, and why am I not getting through to them? And I still had that mindset of like, I'm the expert.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what you need to do.
Right.
And what the flip that happened for me happened a few years ago when I realized our job is not to be the hero for our clients.
Right.
Our job is to be the guide for our clients.
Right.
And the only way you can be the guide is by truly understanding what matters most to them. And then once you understand what matters most to them, learn how to speak to their heart rather than their head.
Wow. See, y'all are in for a treat. You're in for a treat. But before we get there, because that conversation is going to be so robust, I want to go back to, like, what is your first relationship with money? Like, your first memory of money, rather. Like, how did that relationship with money evolve? Like, what comes to mind right away when you think about that?
The relationship to money for me was my grandfather had this like Barnstool Emporium where he sold, you know, all this stuff. And they had these old tchotchke, they were like the die cast banks. And it was this bank of Uncle Sam. And when you'd put a quarter in his hand, and when you'd push the quarter, it would drop into the bank.
Right.
That's my first memory of money.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
See, and to me that's so important. When the memories are like that, and listen, whatever memory you have, is it kind of guides you on your path. But I think it's so important for me, especially for not only for my mentees, but my nephews and people to come under me, that their first memory, right, when they ask that question, it's a positive thing, right? They'll probably end up saying, my uncle gave me Bitcoin for my birthday, but whatever works, right? But let's get into, you know, your practice a little bit. And there's so many ways to go with this, but I want to start with, you mentioned starting the firm. You mentioned you wanted it to be for people who didn't have $1 million, but just give us a roundabout way of the type of client that you serve, right? I hate to say average, but what is, you know, it looks like when you look at your practice or your book of business in both terms, or we need to find another way to say that.
No, that's cool. That was my thought process, was that's who I'm going to serve. That's going to be what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
What it's turned out to be is more along the lines of honestly, what I used to do. It's not like people are walking in with $1 million of investable assets today,
right?
But basically where we are in San Diego County, a lot of people who live here in North County they have college degrees, they usually have postgraduate degrees, they're doctors and lawyers. And they work in executive positions, and you know, they have complexity in their lives. They're usually so I'm about to turn 40.
Right.
I think they're most of them are between 40 and 55, right? They're kind of in that stage of life where like life's really busy and hectic, and they need help with stuff.
Right.
And how do we help them, you know, make the best of it?
Right.
And then the way that we do it is, you know, we look at I view our job as money as a tool, right?
Right.
And it's not It's not our job to just go focus on money. It's our job to focus on their life and what matters most to them.
Right.
And then once we know that, we look at what we should do with their money.
Right. And how do they come to you? Is it just through referral, or is it your presence? And because you do give back a lot, right? And you're out and about surfing and doing all these things. So how do you normally get introduced to clients? Is it a heavy prospecting method or?
Not a heavy prospecting method. A lot of it is through the way that we do the way that we work with clients. A lot of them end up referring other clients.
Okay.
Some people will even do it while they're still in the initial process because it's just so different than what they're used to.
Wow.
So we get that quite a bit. There are larger registered investment advisors in town who do have higher asset minimums,
right?
Who we've stayed in touch with. And so they'll send people over who don't really fit their mold.
Right.
To help them. And then local SEO search too.
Okay.
Lots of people find us just locally.
So what I've noticed, so you, Taylor Schulte, shout out to Taylor Schulte and Advisor Growth Community, and Ryan Hughes as well, it's mentioned SEO and using that here. So, the fight is on in San Diego for attention on.
Taylor wins.
Yeah.
Taylor wins. But Taylor and I, we came together with a couple of other advisors and we started a local website for San Diego fee-only advisors.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
To help all of us with our SEO.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So if a few of us come together and we speak about who we are and what we do and we differentiate amongst each other and we help build a site that helps have more, a higher search credibility than any of our firms individually ever will, well, that helps lift all of us.
Wow. That's awesome. So
Taylor spoke about that on his advisor marketing podcast for anyone who wants to learn more about it.
There you go. Jewel dropped right there. So let's get into that planning process, because you did say it was different than anything that makes people, you know, reach out to someone else and say, hey, you got to experience this, right? Is what I always call, right, that Apple, Tesla-like experience where it's just different. It pulls you in and you're emotionally attached. So I'm a new client and I walk in the door, right? What is that like, the planning process and how you go through that? Take me and us through that.
So it's a process that I learned. So any advisor who wants to learn this process can. It's through the Kinder Institute of Life Planning. Right? So the component, in my mind, the component of our business that's missing is really learning how to actively listen, right?
Yeah.
To really be there with someone.
Yeah.
Before we use our technical skills and our abilities and our tools and our automated systems
right.
to go solve people's problems,
right.
First we have to know what matters to them, what drives them.
Right.
And that's really what this process is all about. So the process that I've learned is, the acronym for it's EVOKE.
Okay.
Which stands for exploration, vision, obstacle, knowledge, and execution.
Wow.
Right? Like, knowledge and execution is what everyone already does.
Yeah.
The first three meetings are what people learn how to do.
Wow.
So if you came in as a prospect and you were going to come in and sit down, a lot of people, you know, are probably used to coming in and hearing about, here's why Stone Steps is so great. Let me tell you about the 12 reasons why we're going to do this right for you. And here's all the value that you're going to get by being here.
Right.
I don't do that.
Okay.
You come in and sit down and it's, Tyrone, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
What brings you here today? And is anything urgent?
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Just give you space to talk.
Wow. And the power of the pause, right? Just to be able to sit and let that marinate. And that right there, if anyone is familiar with our business, like, that never happens, right? It's like, let me show you my, and then, it should be about the client from the first touch point, right? Or prospect from the first
Absolutely.
Touch point.
And especially for younger advisors, because, you know, I'm kind of not young anymore, right? I'm going to be 40.
Yeah.
But when we're young.
We will welcome you to the fourth floor, by the way. we eagerly await your arrival.
When we're young, we want to prove our worth by speaking.
Right.
Right? And that's kind of it's an untraining that you go through. You learn so much to be, here's how I think of it with the EVOKE process. We are highly technically skilled if you're like especially like the fee-only CFP advisor, right? Like, you know your stuff, you know how to do the work, you can do the work, but you can't just step in and go play every night, right? It's like an amazing jazz musician.
Right.
Or an amazing musician of any right, right? Could be an amazing DJ, right? Like, someone, you have to know how to use the equipment. You have to know how to use the process, but then you have to step into that room and figure out what that room needs.
Yep.
And so you have to come in with a beginner's mindset.
Right.
But you have to come up with a tool set and a skill set that you can have confidence that you can allow that conversation to go wherever it goes.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I used to DJ, and I DJed at a really young age. And one of the things that you learn the hard way is you got to know the room.
Right.
Right. You got to know the room, and not only when, you know, not only what records to play, but when to play them, right? So any good DJs, you start to learn, it builds like everything else, mm-hmm. right? And then there's a point where it's like, all right, the room is full. Everybody that's here is going to be here. And then that those two or three or four records that are the one that everyone wants to hear, it's like, that's the moment. But it's also a feeling, right? And then, you know, if you chase everybody off the dance floor, you can visually see that didn't work. But so this is a good opportunity now to talk about the tissues and the chocolate. Talk about that. Right? Because I'm sure you have some really emotional meetings. And was that strategic, or you just kind of learned through the process, like, I'm going to need some tissue here when people come in?
It's strategic. So, if you came in for that first meeting, right?
Yeah.
The whole point of it is, and we mentioned it a touch earlier, but the goal here is we just want to know what's important to you.
Yeah.
And the only way that happens is if we give you the space to talk.
Yeah.
Right? So you start talking about what's important to you, and I'm just going to go on that ride with you. I'm going to stay in this conversation with you, and you're going to start to bring out, I think of it as 10 marbles in your pocket. You're going to bring out your 10 marbles, right?
Right.
I'm not going to write anything down. I'm just going to have a conversation and listen.
Mr. Choppy, right there before you get into that. So you don't have no pad, no anything. You just, it's like this.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Because it's not about what I'm writing down. It's about you. And you're just bringing out what matters most to you.
Wow.
And if there's a spouse sitting there, you each need to have your own time to go.
Right.
Because nothing better in life than having a fulfilled spouse. And if one of you is and the other isn't, you're going to drag each other down.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, but rarely do we ever take the time to look at what matters most to you. The way I think of it is, like, we have money can be its own thing that we help people with, right? People are living life. And oftentimes we think good planners, we take life and money and we bring those two things together. But what we forget is that life, most of what we do, our subconscious is running us. It's all the things that we've already done. It's the way we think about money. It's how we operate on a daily basis. And so it's kind of, I think of it as like the old, like, 5 or 6 disc changers we used to have. Remember, like, old school with like 5 CDs in it?
Yep, absolutely.
Right? Well, those are your 5 CDs running your life. When's the last time you took a minute to think, should you change the playlist?
Wow.
Right? And so what we're doing in this process is we're taking a few conversations for you to look at what matters most to you in life before we look at what we should do with your money.
Right. Now, here's what's fascinating about this, right? At the wirehouses, they teach you, you're going with that ugly yellow notepad with the company branded pen. You don't worry that the client is like, well, he's not writing anything down while I'm talking. That's never was a concern for you?
No, I don't worry about that, because I'll explain to them how it works, right? And then here's the thing, the tissues and chocolate, maybe they come out in the first meeting, but this office is designed as a family room. Right.
Okay.
It's not designed as a boardroom.
Okay.
My job is to be here on level with my clients. It is not to be the, again, I'm the guide. I'm not the hero. Right.
Right.
They're the heroes in their own life.
Right.
Our job in the first few meetings is to figure out, you know, think of their money and their life as a jigsaw puzzle. And it's all on the table right now. Well, the only way we know what we actually want to build is we have to figure out what that cover looks like, right?
Right.
Most important thing when you put a jigsaw puzzle together is that picture on the outside,
right?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And rarely do we step back for a moment to go, like, what do you guys really want that picture to look like?
Right.
Before we start putting all this stuff together.
Right.
Because I don't want to tell you to go do something and start climbing, you know, put that ladder against the wrong wall and start climbing.
Right.
That'd be horrible.
Wow. Yeah. So, and there's a motivational speaker, Inky Johnson, and he talks about a painting that he got of his family, and he had it up on the wall, and his friend came in and walks up. He's like, man, your fade is all messed up, and this don't look like your kid or whatever. And the friend is all up on it. He's standing way in the back. He goes, come here. And he goes, tell me if you notice any of those same things back here. And the friend is like, oh, yeah, you're right. Right. And so he's talking about perspective, right, of where you are. And I thought it was really cool that you mentioned that, because it's so hard to break that cycle. Again, I have all these letters after my name, or I'm working at a particular place. Like, I want to be the fixer.
Right.
I know what's wrong when you walked in, because you came to me. Right. How would you suggest that we break that cycle as advisors, but more importantly as people, because we do that with people too, mm-hmm. right? Where you just feel like you know the person and I know what works for you, right? And especially in this business now, we won't go down this path here. I don't want to waste this valuable time on that, is that especially when it comes to people who are minorities mm-hmm. or forgotten voices in this business, oh, we know what they need. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you don't. Right? You have to give them the opportunity to speak to what those needs are, which is why I always talk about getting proximate.
What you talk about getting proximate to me is if every advisor and every person could learn how to do this type of a process, because it is a skill that you can learn.
Yeah,
right. Like once you told me those 10 marbles, right, which mm-hmm. for a young man of color could be different than what it would be for someone else. We were talking about that earlier, right?
Yeah.
You know, first high school kid to graduate to go to college. And what's that look like versus the kid who grew up in suburbia with college educated parents going to college, right? Two totally different things.
Yeah.
Supposedly they're doing the same thing, but they're not.
Right.
But like once you know what those 10 things are, then you basically help them prioritize what matters most to them.
Right. So you get all of that information. Now, I'm assuming when you leave that meeting, I'm sure it's very emotional for the both of you, because what I've learned is not only from doing this podcast, but really being close to people who are in need, you wear that. Like there's a responsibility and a heaviness that you feel when people unload on you, right? And you have to have a way to get it off of you in a way where you feel like, okay, again, now being very thoughtful of where that person is and how you provide the solution. So the meeting's over now. So what do? Do you kind of data dump yourself into an Excel sheet or Google Doc, or like what is the next process in that?
So first meeting, they would have come in. They would have already told me roughly how much money they make, what their net worth is, all that stuff. So we could figure out what their fee would be at the back end so they get a sense of what it is, right? I'm going to introduce to them. I'm going to have that conversation with them. Just talk about what matters most to them until anything else. The key is anything else and pause.
Just
let them keep bringing it out. And the thing is that when you do that, people will bring up those. The reason I say 10 marbles is most people come in with 3. I want to retire. I want to buy a house. I want to send my kid to college. But there's usually far more important things to people that they don't normally bring out. Right. And so you let that happen. And then once they do that, what you do is you give them an opportunity to prioritize their own stuff. And the way that we do that is with Kinder's work. It's called Kinder's 3 Questions. Right. And so I'll introduce it to you because every client has to go through it if they're going to work with me. I don't do it another way. But what would happen, Tyrone, is like you would go answer these questions, come back and have a conversation. If you had a spouse, they would answer the same questions separately.
Okay.
It's not about whoever the dominant person is in the family telling what the family wants, right? It's like, what does each person want? What makes each person tick?
Wow.
So we know what drives you, because if we know what drives you and we can get energy and inspiration and a little bit of anxiety behind you, you're probably going to step into who you're meant to be a lot faster.
100%. Right? 100%.
So the 3 questions that they answer are, the first one is, you wake up in the morning, Tyrone, you check your bank account and you have more money to deal with all of your needs now and in the future. Like, you're set. You know, I'm not saying you have like Jeff Bezos money,
right?
But like, you don't have to worry about money anymore. What would you do? Wow. How would you live your life? Right. And just let yourself go. Dream. So put everything on there that you would do. Right? How would you spend your time, money, energy and talent? What are you doing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a really fun question to answer. It's a question that rarely people answer because they always think, well, I have to do this or I have to do that. And we rarely stop and think what we really would do. Right. The next question that you answer is, you're going to go to, in this question, you'll go to a doctor. And sadly, they're going to tell you that you have 5 to 10 years to live. You have a terminal illness. And it's not about, you know, you have 5 to 10 years to live. The good news is you're never going to feel sick for a moment of the time that remains. But the bad news is you'll have no notice of that final day.
Wow.
Right? And you don't have unlimited funds now. Right? You just have the time, money, energy, and talent that you have sitting in that chair. And if that's what was given to you, what would you do with your life? Would you change it? And if you would, how so?
Wow.
And then the final question gets tough, right? Because you're going to go to that same doctor, but they're going to tell you the time's up. Right? And so tomorrow doesn't come. And it's not, what are you going to do in your last day? Because we can go surf right now and have a great last day, right? Or you can go jump on a plane and go say goodbye to your family or do what you got to do. But it's if when it hits you that time is up and it actually you actually feel it,
yeah.
Ask yourself, what did I miss? Who did I not get to be? What did I not get to do?
Wow. Wow.
Because when you answer those questions, you go touch what matters most to you as a person, right?
Yeah.
Not what society thinks you should do, not what other people think you should do, not you building that billion-dollar firm that you're supposed to build, but yeah. You having the impact that you're going to have in everyone's life.
Wow.
Right? Like, what drives you? Once we know what drives you, then we look at your time, your money, your energy, and your talent, and we look at, well, how do we optimize this for you? How do we get you to live into being who you're meant to be faster?
Sheesh. Wow.
So you're doing those conversations to help people get really targeted on what matters most to them. Mm-hmm. Once you know that, then who's better to have this conversation than a skilled financial planner, because they actually know how to help people optimize their money.
Yep. Yep. Wow. And it's so crazy about that. Again, it's incredibly deep and powerful there, but my mentor always says this is the whatever you think that this business is, it's so last.
Mm-hmm.
It's so last. Like that the asset allocation and when will we balance and this sleeve of alts or whatever, like you don't even get to that. He's like, I never discuss that with clients.
No, like we rarely discuss. We'll discuss. I always want my clients to be educated and understand what we're doing and why we're doing it for them, right?
Right.
But to me, it's more about how do we help them step into who they're meant to be and how do we help them live the best life that they can?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And if we do that, like the cool thing about this is most people, are scared to talk about money with anyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's a very taboo subject. And the fact that they'll actually step in and talk with you about it means that they're willing to open themselves up to a vulnerability that they're not willing to do with many other people.
Yep. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And what if you could help them extend that a little further and have deep conversations where you'll literally see this. It happens on the couch often. You'll watch clients turn to each other and go, I didn't know that about you.
Sheesh.
And this is a couple who's been married for 15 years and they're saying things about what matters most to them that they've never shared with anyone before.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
You literally watch couples fall in love with each other again on the couch. It's the coolest thing ever.
That's amazing.
Right?
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's stunning and deep work. And at the end of the day, I think that's what this is about, like that human touch, right? The name of the podcast, the Human Advisor Podcast. That's something that technology will never, ever, ever do. The most deepest, intelligent AI can never do that.
Right.
And I think it's important work, and why I think, again, going back to this conversation now, and not to transition too far away from that, because I do want to talk about the end process of that. But, you know, there's this talk of, you know, fees going to zero and business change, which again, I'm a fan of for the demo that I serve and the demo that I fight for.
Yeah.
But I do think when you sitting with you and so many other advisors, the work that we do is so important that whatever you charge is worth it. Mm-hmm. If you're doing that type of work, right? And I do think in the end, right, the cream rises to the top. And if it's 1% or whatever it is, if it's subscription, whatever, when you're doing that type of work, I don't think people will ever care about it. And one thing I always give the example of is I went to 11 Madison Park. I love Danny Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Completely fascinated. He, reading his book, Setting the Table, changed how I look at this business forever. And I was at 11 Madison Park for my birthday. And again, it's not a cheap restaurant, right? It was just voted the best restaurant in the world. At any point, Dave would have came to that table during the dinner while we were eating and said, we just raised prices 100%. I wouldn't have cared.
Right.
Because I was just so caught up in the moment. Mm-hmm. And they make sure that, like, I literally can't even tell you what I ate. Yeah. I don't remember the food, but the experience was just so good that I was just like, it was unbelievable. And at the end of the meal, everyone at the table gets a can and you pull it out and it's every single thing that you ordered, right? Wow. In order, your specific order, and it's different from everybody else's. And I'm like, how in the world are they doing that?
Yeah.
You don't remember it, but they remember it for everybody at the table. And now, like, you go home, you're like, I had chicken? Like, it was amazing. So I always look at our business that way now, is that I want every single time a client talks to me, get something from me, whatever, they go, wow, I'm so glad I'm working with him and no one else, because he gets me. So I want to add to that and have you expound on this is, how do you know, and it seems like you do it really early. I think most advisors that aren't as good as you, myself included, it takes us a longer time, but how do you know you reached a client where you had that breakthrough with them? Is it initially when they sit? Is it an emotional moment with tears, or is it a happy moment, or is it when you see a couple fall in love? How do you know at the end of the day, you cut the lights out, you walk out, and you're going home, you're like, I reached that couple today?
Yeah, so what you do is you have the initial conversation, that exploration meeting. That next meeting we call the vision meeting. That's you coming in with your three questions. If you had a spouse, they'd come in with their three questions.
Okay.
And I talked to you about your three questions. Here's what happens, and it's science based. The way when you think something, you think it. Mm-hmm. When I give you your words back to you, they flow through your reptilian brain or your amygdala, and you feel your own thoughts.
Right.
You can't do that to yourself. So what happens is you. That's why you have as advisors, we have to learn to come. First of all, you have to do. It's good to be life planned yourself first.
Yeah, right.
Because what you'd mentioned earlier about carrying the weight of others, you have to try not to do that.
Right.
And the way that you do that is you get right with yourself and with your own family and what you're doing for yourself.
Yeah.
And living the best life that you can for yourself.
Yeah.
So that when I come in and have a conversation with you, if you bring up something that really matters to you and it also matters to me, if I haven't dealt with my own stuff, I'm going to start projecting my own thoughts. And I'm gonna be in my brain. I'm not gonna be here with you. I'm gonna be here with myself.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So once you know how to do that, then by you having those conversations, we're gonna see what matters most to you, because when you think something, you think it. When you hear something, you get the emotion of it. Emotion comes in arcs. That's why there's tissues over there.
Right.
They're not there to be in front of people to be like, don't cry.
Yeah.
It's okay to cry in this office. If something really matters to you, you might cry.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Right? It just means it's touching what matters most to you.
Yeah.
Once we know that, then we paint a picture for you of what matters most to you. So we give you a sense of what if, you know, if as a consequence of our work together, a year and a half from now, you're doing these things, and I'm painting that for you because they're your own words back to you. We're going to see whether or not you're excited about it. And we know if we hit it, because I'll ask how that would feel, and you're like, sign me up.
Right.
Let's go make that happen.
Right, 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 right.
And there's no way that you don't want that. And there's a lot of energy behind you and what you want to go do.
Right.
And then from there, you go, the next meeting that we come back to, we call the obstacles meeting. Obstacles meeting is exactly what it sounds like. It's cool. Tyrone, you really want to live in Southern California.
Yeah.
And you want to be having a massive impact on young men of color across this nation. And you want to be doing this amazing project in Detroit, getting it off the ground. And 2 years from now, you're looking at it and it's all happened.
Right.
Right? How would that feel? Right? And hopefully you're really excited about it. I don't know what your thing is. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, no, right? No, you nailed it.
On our conversation. But then when you come back the next time, it's what could possibly get in the way of you getting this done?
Right.
We have to get it all out, right? Because some of those things are real. Maybe they're monetary. Maybe you need to find more time to go work on those things.
Right.
Which translates back to money.
Money.
Right?
Yep.
Or maybe you have these thoughts about what you can and can't accomplish that are weighing you down because of, you know, the way you grew up. And you need to talk through those things to figure it out. So some of the things we talk about are financial. Some of the things we talk about aren't. And we talk about how are you going to get this done? Who's going to hold you accountable? When are you going to do it?
Right.
Right. And so this is financial life planning, because life is the focus of everything. Money supports it all. But we can talk about life in this space.
Right. Amazing. Amazing. So let me ask you this, because, again, I have to walk this duality of flying the flag for technology. But again, being cognizant and being a voice for people who don't get access to the technology that I'm championing. Mm-hmm. Right. What role does technology play in your practice, but are you very aware of making sure that it doesn't overwhelm the client experience?
Well, yeah. We all want it to not overwhelm the client experience, right?
Right, right.
I mean, that's the problem in our business is there's like, I was looking at it last night and I was like, okay, we use Riskalyze, we use Orion, we use eMoney, we clear at TD, you know, we have a CRM, we use email. It's like all these things. And I'm like, how do I simplify this?
Right.
How do I make this easier for myself and for the clients?
Right.
Something we always deal with. Mm-hmm. My personal thought on our business I do this the way I do it because it's a virtuous cycle. When you start seeing people live into who they're meant to be, you don't want to do it any other way. That's why I do it. But if you wanted to be cynical for a second on our business, I think that the last thing to go will be the human connection that has that happens.
Right.
Right. When you you can sit down and figure out everything that you need to go do, and a lot of few people in the world are really good at that. They're really good high achievers who actually know what to do and actually go do it. Yep. I forget who it is that said it, but someone said something like, if all we needed was knowledge, everyone would be a billionaire with a six pack.
Yeah.
Right?
True. Right.
But it's not the knowing, it's the doing.
Doing.
Right.
Yep.
And
yep.
a lot of us fail to step up and do things, and we fail to step into, we don't always step into who we're meant to be as quickly as we could.
Right.
So if you can be a guide and help people do that, I think there will always be value in that.
Right, right.
And I think anything that you can do to supplement that with technology is only going to help you because it gives you more time to have conversations
exactly.
with people.
Exactly. That was my next point.
And do those things.
Yep, that was my next point. I think I just think that if we utilize it properly in this business, right, I think it is going to, one, allow advisors more time to do the things that matter, right, what you spoke about. So, again, there's no doubt advisors that are watching this that have a tech-heavy stack, and that's kind of what they're leaning on. And they spend most of their time trying to make sure everything works, right, and all the data is right, and everything is input correctly. But I think if we use it right as a business and as a industry, and more importantly, as servers, right? People who serve is going to give us more time to get into the community, to give more to our clients. And more importantly, which I think is something that's not talked about in our business is enough, is advisors taking care of themselves, right? The mental health of this country in general is under siege. But more importantly, those of us that are servers, that are givers, our own mental space and mental health, right? Which I talk about often. And when you are really exhausting yourself doing that, it's really important that you are in a good space to be able to help other people. So I think as technology starts to pervade our business, which it is, and we're squarely ripe for disruption, right? It's happening. I think if we do it right, it'll give us a lot of time to be able to go out and do things that I fight for, right? And I'm always talking about, you know, the proximity, right? And getting proximate to those in need. And sometimes those in need is the person we go into the bathroom and we stare at, right? And sometimes that's a very uncomfortable conversation and view. Right. And I deal with that personally right now. I stare in the mirror. What I see, I struggle with.
Yeah.
Right. And also when you leave that and then you see yourself in this realm and you're like, that's a me I don't recognize. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to fight that. But also, who am I to family members, my wife, my kids, my mom, my dad, my clients. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's a really powerful thing of how technology can be something that we could use purposefully here. And I think at the end of the day, that's really what it's about.
Well, what you're speaking to there, to me, is just humanity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Just being human. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Because we all have, you know, you look at yourself in the mirror and how you see yourself can be vastly different from what other people.
And what a juxtaposition, right? When what you see is not what everybody else sees.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, oh, Tyrone,
you're killing it. You're doing it all.
And I get by myself and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How could they, you know, what I wanted to be and I worked so hard to be, I'm never going to be.
Yeah.
Right? And what are they so happy about? Right?
Well, a big thing for me with that and with this work as well is mindfulness. And meditation is a form of that. Surfing is a form of that for me, which is just me getting to go be in the present moment and have focus.
Right.
And just learn how to do that. And a big part of it really is learning how to sit with emotion.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And whatever you're feeling in that moment, just go sit with it. Don't run away from it. Just be with it.
Yeah.
Because what I've found is that by learning how to do that, I can help understand the barometer of where someone is in these conversations I have with them because I've worked on my own stuff.
Right. So just to be very clear, Scott said he agreed that we would surf and we would sprint.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. Surfing, I could drown and die. sprinting you is just a virtual death. It's some bad booty locking, and that's it. But we're gonna get that done. We're gonna do a follow up episode, and we're going to surf and sprint.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm gonna definitely take you up on that. And like everything you do, I just you put life in perspective so well. It's such a gift that you have of doing that. And you know, we were sitting talking about surfing, and you were talking about it takes years to learn, you know, how to surf, and about being in the moment. Do you think? And again, it probably, you know, feeds on one another. But do you think that helps you kind of reinforce what you do here, you know, with clients?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's what I love about surfing is that it's short.
Right.
You have to be in the moment. And if you're not in the moment, you miss it.
Right.
And it also makes it really hard to learn. Because as I was saying to you before, like if you want to learn another board sport, like snowboarding.
Right.
Well, if you fall down, the mountain didn't move.
Right. That is true. You're not going to move the mountain at all.
Right.
Nor will it
and
move.
And it's tough to drown in the mountain.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And on the track, this is your own sweat and tears.
Yeah.
So moving, you know, obviously, again, I could sit and talk to you forever about this. And it's important that we cover all of the things that I want to cover with guests. And I think we did that justice with you. It's funny now, the genesis of the question right at the end that I ask people is a healing process for me of, you know, and we had talked about when we were, you know, first of all, the podcast came out of the blue for me. I'm like, podcast host, nah, that's not my thing. But, you know, we were just talking about what we would talk about with clients. And, you know, gratitude is a big thing for me. It's the epicenter of my life to give and be grateful. And we were, you know, talking about the last question. Like, we're gonna ask people what are you grateful for?
Right.
And my greatest struggle right now is trying to answer the question that I'm about to ask you. Mm. Because my prayer, it's not only for me, but for other people, is that if there's people struggling to answer this question, that they find it. And this is what I'm trying to do. And I don't think whoever you believe in, Yahweh, Buddha, Jesus, whatever, the five moon and stars and whatever, I don't think this is an accident. I think I'm on this little tour, right, to be shown and given, right, that answer. But I definitely want to ask you this, and I think it'll shake people up a bit. But what are you most grateful for that never worked out for you?
For where I'm at in this chair right now, I think it would have to be, you know, the firm I was at before I started this one was a firm that was smaller and growing, where it was the prospects of, you know, you think as you're going to step in as an advisor, you're going to work your way up, you're going to become a partner and do all those things and just grow into a bigger firm. And that did not work out for me.
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing I'm grateful for
right
now. Because if it had, I wouldn't be who I am today. Right. I wouldn't know financial life planning. I wouldn't be doing the work that I'm doing with clients where, you know, just the way that I end up doing planning now is so different than what otherwise I would be. I would be helping people who already have money keep money.
Yeah.
Versus now what I get to do is I get to truly look at time, money, energy, and talent. And it's like, how do you, you know, if for a client recently, it was what mattered most to them, high-powered corporate person, working all the time, traveling all the time, not really seeing his kids or his wife. Biggest thing that mattered to him was the legacy he wanted to leave in his profession and more time with his family. And so big shift for them financially. Cash flow went down a lot.
Right.
But we figured out how to make it work. And now he's living into who he wants to be.
Right.
And I get to help people do that.
Right.
So grateful I didn't get to become a partner at my old firm.
Wow. And again, I think there's the reason why I asked the question is one, because you got to go to a place that you don't normally go to.
Mm-hmm.
First thing. Second thing, I think there's a clarity, right, where you've kind of gone through a situation. And again, right, as I stare behind me, right, stone steps, right, the steps are ordered, right, and you start to see them out there. But you start to step on them and then you're, oh, it's stable, right? It's stable, it's coming. And I think the last thing is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hardest thing that I've learned in my life for people to do is just to accept what happened, accept where you are, right? Accept what could be, right? And accept that the person that may have done something to you or the situation that may have happened to you, right? It happened to you, but you have to accept at some point it happened for you, right? And right now I look at what happened to me and hearing these answers at some point will be, right? That happened for me.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see that. So this for me has been incredibly powerful. And again, I think for anyone watching this that is in our profession, I think it is just so important now, again, because we throw around financial planning. We gotta do financial planning. Like, you know, there's a couple of trolls on Twitter. What is planning, right? What is planning?
Yeah.
And I think you know, there's different answers to it, but I think when as we were, you know, on a ride down talking, I was talking to him about you and how you changed my perception of it when you spoke about, yeah, you say life planning, but here's what it looks like.
Right.
But more importantly, here's how you approach it. So this has been unbelievable. I'm extremely grateful for the time.
Yeah.
I think so many people are going to benefit from not only the conversation, but just from how thoughtful you are. And how purposeful, and I think that's huge. And I don't want to leave without this, is you are such an advocate for what I'm doing. And I'm so grateful for that, right? And then being a thoughtful giver. And all I ask for is advocates, because I'm not supposed to be here, right? But the advocacy that I get on Twitter, and you are always retweeting and posting and go follow Tyrone and let's do this. That means a lot to me. But more importantly, it's not about me. It's for the people that I'm fighting for that will never, ever, ever get this opportunity. So I appreciate you and the time.
You too.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. There's some tissue and chocolate. I think I'm going to have a little bit of both. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Again, I think we look so forward in this business, but sometimes it's just good to stay present and in the moment. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, for watching, for streaming. We appreciate you. We'll see you on the next one.
This was another episode of the Human Advisor Podcast. Visit humanadvisorpodcast.com for new episodes. And be sure to check out altruist.com to learn more about the first ever fully integrated digital brokerage platform for fiduciary financial advisors. No commissions, no fees, and no biases. The way it should be.